morning.
Good morning.
Good harmony. I'm surprised you didn't ask me to play the bongos. I'm really surprised that you didn't ask me to play the bongos with you, but that's okay.
To God be the glory. Next time.
What's that?
To God be the glory.
Yeah, amen. We should have had our brother play the sax. Now play the sax. Yeah, you probably regret telling me all this, right? Yeah, definitely, Chris. I'm going to kill you later. In love. If you saw a child, niño, okay, if you saw a child and the child had, was like 4 or 5 and they had a friend that was an imaginary friend, you'd say, isn't that cute? Right? You'd say, isn't that cute? That's a cute little thing. But the kid was 34. If the person was 34 years of age, you'd say, need a checkup from the neck up. You need some help. Lights on, nobody's home. You know? And so you'd say something's really wrong, right? Do you remember the movie? It's an old movie called Harvey.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that movie? It's with Jimmy Stewart. Jimmy Stewart, the great actor. It's a Wonderful Life thing and all that. 12 o'clock high, I think that's what it was. Anyway, he did a number of movies. I mean, the guy was world famous, but he did this movie called Harvey. And it was about a man, Elwood P. Dowd, his persona. And Elwood P. Dowd, and he was very nice, very gentle, very, hi, how are you doing? My name is Elwood P. Dowd. And he had my card, and he handed the card, and have you met my friend Harvey? How you doing? Introduce yourself. Oh no, you want me to introduce you for you? And people are looking at him like, wow, something's wrong with you, man. Something really wrong with you. And he goes, this is my friend, you can't see him. He's a 6-foot puka rabbit, you know. And he had a picture of him in his house. He had a picture of him in his house with a straw hat with his ears, rabbit ears through the hat. It's really interesting. And so they persisted. The movie goes on, and it's really, the roles are reversed in this movie. It's a great flick. I recommend it. But people thought what they normally would think, you know, something's wrong with Elwood P. Dowd, right? Something's really wrong with this guy. And so they try to get him committed to an insane asylum and all this kind of stuff. The movie's great. Really a great flick. You'd enjoy it. But you'd say something is kind of wrong with Elwood P. Dowd. Reminds me of when I was in New York City. We were doing some open air meetings in New York, and I had a band full of Word of Life Bible Institute students. And this guy was standing there, and I thought I'd give a last gospel tract before we leave New York City area, Times Square, packed out. 20,000 people passing our board an hour. That's how packed it is. Our brother has been there many times with us, and it's a weird place. So this guy's standing there, and I run up to him. I got the van all ready to go, and the van's ready to take off. And I said, "Hey, some good news for you today." And he just looked at me and he said, I'm not here. I said, you're not here? He goes, no, I am not here. I go, you're not here. He goes, no. I'm having a conversation with a phantom. You know, he goes, I go, so if I took an axe and cut your arm off, he goes, I said, you start, no, I'm not here. Then he looks at me and says, neither are you.
Yeah.
I said, you're right, bye-bye. I gave him the gospel, gave him some verses, but that was it. There's something wrong with that guy. And he didn't even look at me. He just kept staring off at the lights. It was really interesting. The question I have for us today, is our Christian life like that? Is it fact or fantasy? Is our Christian life fact or fantasy? And what I mean by that, I'm talking to believers who have trusted Christ as their personal Savior. That is the most important. Cristo te ama. Cristo te ama. Receiving Jesus into my heart, into my life. And asking Jesus to be my personal Savior. Recognizing that I can't save myself. Recognizing that Jesus died on that cross and shed his blood from his, you know, shed his blood for me. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So I have to, and then not only did he die on that cross, literally died, but after being buried and 3 days later being raised from the dead physically. One of the most historic events in all of history, verified like crazy. You can trust that he did that very thing, and you've got historians telling us that is true, etc. So that's who I'm talking to, those who have received Christ as their personal Savior and have trusted Jesus Christ for their salvation. That is the single most important thing a person could ever do. Because just think about this for a moment, and I know you've thought about this. It's just a matter of time before we leave this earth. It's just a short amount of time. It is. And it's getting shorter the older we get. So, it is appointed unto men once to die, then comes the judgment. And so this is the thing. So once a person receives Jesus as their personal Savior, what's our life like? How are we defined? That should be, for us, the defining moment of our lives and of our eternities, receiving Jesus as our Savior. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And so it's nothing, there's no other hope. There's no other hope. Not in oil of Olay, not in Quaker State, not in bean sprouts, not in vitamin C. Not in Ozempka or whatever those, I watch the TV, man. If I got all that, I'd be a regular pharmacy. You know, all those guys that want to sell me all that stuff, right? So, what is our Christian life defined as? What are we like? Who are we? As Christians, who in the world are we? And is it fact or fantasy? You're saying fact, okay? And that's exactly what we want to go. That's exactly where we want to go. But some people live a fanciful life as a Christian. And I'd like us to look at a passage of Scripture that talks about this. We're going to look at this one. We're going to look at another one, too, because they're parallel in their approach. I'd like us to look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And where in the world is Colossians? That's not in the Old Testament. It's right after Philippians, which is after Ephesians, which is, I even got to look, which is after Galatians, which is after 2 Corinthians, which is after 1 Corinthians, which is after Romans. So it is Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And he's writing Paul the Apostle is writing to the church at Colossae. Is an actual place, and he's writing to the saints that have trusted Christ as their Savior. He did not establish the church. What he did was other people did. But he's writing to them. And it's an interesting thing. This is a close tie to Philemon. And Philemon's servant who robbed him and fled and took off went to Colossae and received Christ as his Savior at the church of Colossae, in Colossae under the ministry there. And so he really, just a tremendous, it's a tremendous thing. So you look at this, and what Paul often does in his epistles, his letters, you see that Paul first gives who we are in Christ. Gives us our position in Christ. That's important for us to know. Who are we? So I have in my little pack here, is that dog barking at me? Oh, I'm going, he bark? I don't even know me. He doesn't even know me. So when I go to Canada, I have two forms of identification. And the first one is this one.
Passport.
Yeah, passport. And I also have Global Express, which acts as a passport. It gets me back into the United States. But this is important, you know. And it doesn't matter how I feel about it. I got to have it. I could have intestinal flu. You know, we have Steve Price at our place today. And he had the flu big time. And I said, you lost weight. He goes, yeah. And but it doesn't matter how you feel. You got to show this. This gets you in, right? What Paul is going to tell us is our position. And it doesn't matter how you feel about it. Some people just, they look at their life and they go, I hate to use this word, but I'm about to. Existential. In other words, we go by feeling. I really want to feel good about my Christian. I really like it. Well, it's not based off of your feelings. I'm not a Christian because I feel good. I'm a Christian because Jesus Christ died on the cross for me, rose again from the dead physically for me, and I asked Him to be my personal Savior, and I passed from death unto life. How do I know that? God told me that in His Word, and I believe it. Ain't that a kicker? It's as simple as that. God said it, I believe it, and what? That settles it. That settles the whole thing. And so when we look at this passage, we're going to see here, he's going to make three exhortations to us as Christians. That's what he's going to do. And he's going to give us, first of all, our position in Christ. Who are we in Christ? Who are we? Okay. So, and then he's going to give us the practical a practical exhortation and then a personal one. He's going to give us a positional exhortation, a practical exhortation, and then a personal exhortation for us. So we look at this, and Paul, he makes a positional exhortation. He tells us to know our position in Christ. He tells us to know our position in Christ, and then he's going to tell us to reckon on that position. Okay, so let's look at knowing our position. Knowing our, if you therefore be risen with Christ. The NIV, New International Version, renders that since. But I think the Greek is just telling us to really know it. To really know this. If then you've been raised with Christ. Well, that's interesting. So if you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, not only did he die on the cross for you, but he rose again physically from the dead for you. And here's the kicker. You were there. What? I've never been to Israel. I've never been in that neighborhood. And I'm only so many years. And that was almost 2,000 years ago. What are you talking about? It was by position. He was your substitute. He was your proxy. A number of years ago during World War II, guys got married. Guys who were on the battlefield in Normandy or wherever in Europe, they would get married. Okay? By what? Proxy. They got married by proxy. In other words, you had a good friend that said, I'll stand in for you, and it's all legal, totally legal, and I'll stand in for you, and I'll act as your proxy, your substitute. And so you don't even have to be there, but I will do it in your name, and you will be legally married to, what's her name? Okay? And so you will be legally married to her. Okay, and that's, according to the law, totally legal. Mm-hmm. Well, this is how we were. Even though we were not even born or conceived or anything, we were there because he was our substitute, mm-hmm. our proxy. Substitutionary death of Christ, and then also substitutionary resurrection. And so it says, if you then therefore be raised with Christ, and you are, that's the import of this, and you died with Christ and you've been raised with Christ. And going to Romans 6, turn to Romans 6 just for a moment. Keep your finger in Colossians 3 and look at Romans 6 just for a real brief moment. That's exactly what he says to the church at Rome. Look at verse 1. What? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in it? Know ye not that as many of us were baptized or placed into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. In other words, when he died, we died. That's exactly what that means. It has nothing to do with the baptismal. That's just an outward expression of this spiritual reality. And so therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, and we have been, we also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. You see where he's going with this? You see exactly where he's going with this? This is interesting because this is, in Colossians, he's doing it again. He's giving our position in Christ. So we have died with Christ. We've been raised with Christ. That's how he looks at us. And that is the reality. That's a fact. Doesn't matter how you feel about it. Doesn't matter if you go, I feel, yes, Lord, oh yes! You know, That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter if you're feeling glum or you're feeling zippity-doo-dah. You know, this is what it is. This is, you've died with Christ, you've been raised with Christ. Now we're to walk in newness of life. Okay, so that's the fact, Jack. And we look at this, if your name is Jack. Okay, so going back to Colossians 3, if you then be raised, risen with Christ, and then look at verse 3. For we are dead and our life is hidden with Christ in God. You ever go to a funeral? Of course. I've been to a few. You can go up to that body there and go, you can do all that stuff to it. Doesn't matter. Why? They're not there. You know, they're just not there, you know. I would love it to see where it's just a reaction. That was just a nervous reaction. You know, right hook, right in the face, you know. That would be kind of cool. You know, then have a tape. Okay, so, but you look at this. So, we are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. One of the great Greek scholars Americans ever produced said that our life is, this Greek is reflecting, is locked away with Christ. Locked away with Christ. Pretty good. It's pretty good. We've been locked away with Christ, hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is, verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we shall also appear with him in glory. So this is the story. We're going to glory. That rhymes. But it's good. I like that. This is the story. We're going to glory. We're going to be with him in glory. And so you notice what else he says. He says, now what you need to do is you need to reckon on this. Verse 1 again. If ye then be therefore risen with Christ, if then ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits. Right? Seek those things with the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. So what happens is this. Another great Greek scholar kept saying this. He says, we must not only seek heaven, we must think heaven. We must think heaven. Set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. How's that working out for you? You know, this is a command for us to do. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Okay, how many things of the earth do you set your affections on? How many of this earth or am I setting my affections? Saxophone, alto. Are we setting our affections on the job? The family? Are we setting our affections on the political? Are we setting our affections on the Lions? I know people laugh. You can't say that in Detroit. You know, but I mean, I'm a Browns fan, so there we go. Two teams that went 0-16. So we've got. It would be funny if we both met in the Super Bowl. That would be amazing. Okay, but I mean, you know, who's going to lose? And we've got a lot of jokes on that one, that's for sure. But are you setting your affections on things that, I mean, people are doing this. I just can't believe how many people bet on these things. FanDuel, the official thing of the NFL.
Don't, if you have trouble betting.
In other words, if you have trouble losing. Oh, my word. It's just, so what are we setting our affections on? What are we doing? He's telling us, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Why? Because we died and we've been raised. We're not the same person we were before we trusted Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. You're a different person. I remember my friend telling me that when I got saved. When I trusted Christ, March 22nd, 1971. And I remember Dave telling me, he said, Chris, things are going to change. I'm going, yeah, sure. Maybe my hair will straighten out.
Yeah.
When I had it, and maybe my zits will go away. I was 18, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, I had no idea what he was talking about. And so he says, things are going to change. You'll be a different man. I'm, okay, cool. Thanks, Dave. Really appreciate that. A month later, I'm driving my ex-girlfriend, not at that time, she was my girlfriend at the time, but now, okay, so I was driving her home, right? I was driving her home, and she's sitting there, and she goes, you know something? You're different. That's videotape being rewound all the way back to when the, Chris, things are going to be different. You're a different person. I'm going, whoa. Back. I said, yeah. She goes, yeah. I said, she goes, and I don't like it. And she canned me. Bingo. Yeah. It was good because I never would have met Pretty Barb. I never would have had a son named JC. I never would have had beautiful grandchildren. I mean, the Lord knows what he's doing. But at the time, it was hard. It was hard. But I was a different, I remember how I felt when she, I'll never forget, I looked at the steering column of the car I was driving. And I go, I'm different. I'm different. Yes. And she said, I don't like it. I'm going, so, but that's the beauty of the Lord knows what he, you know, he knows how to handle you. He knows exactly what you need. So we need to, you know, Paul makes this positional statement, exhortation to us. He says, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. I tell you what, to look around is to be distressed. To look within is to be depressed. To look above to Jesus is to be blessed. So set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. You know, can you imagine? So he's telling us to act like this. He's telling us to act like who you are. Right? That's what he's saying. So, what's your name? Who? Isaac? Yeah. You like your name?
Yeah.
What's your name? Isaac! Okay, that's good. Isaac. So, I like it too. Okay, Isaac. So, you're walking down the street, Lenore and Curtis, you're walking down the street, and here you see me coming. 6'5" and a half, high heels, 6'10" and a half. And I've got a skirt on, I've shaped the legs really well. I've shaved real close. I let my hair grow out, which is Rosanna Dana, frizzy. And frizzy hair, and I'm walking down, and I've got a blouse on, and it's in the summer. So I'm walking down and Isaac spots me. And he goes, what is this? What is this? I've got to watch it these days. Okay? I go,
"Oh, hi, Isaac. How you doing?"
And he goes, Chris, takes his glasses, cleans them, puts them back on. Chris Schroeder? And I go, "Yeah, Isaac, I'm fine. How you doing?" And you go, I know Isaac would do this. He's that kind of guy. I don't know. He might just grab me by the blouse. And he'd pull me down and he'd say, "Chris Schroeder, you're a man. Act like it." And take the pumps off and all that stuff. You know, take the... Act like it. This is exactly what Paul is telling us Christians. You have died with Christ, you've been raised with Christ, now act like it. Act like it. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. This is your position in Christ. Don't let the devil tell you, and he will tell you, "Oh, you're such a wicked guy," and that's, or a wicked gal. That is true without Jesus. But when you trust in Christ, you are now born again into the family of God. And you're now a child of God. You have died with Christ, you've been raised with Christ, now you're now to walk in newness of life. And that's exactly brings us to our next little verb. It says, "Mortify therefore your members." Look at verse 5. Look at verse 5. Now he's going to give us the practical action of "mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." This mortifying is necro. Ever hear of necromancy? This is necrosate. And this means to put to death. Okay? Put to death. In Romans chapter 6, it tells us count on. It tells us in verse 11 to count on these things. In other words, add it all up. It's an accounting term in which you add up all that he said, that you've died with Christ, you've been raised with Christ, now you're to walk in newness of life. Count that all up. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Romans 6:11. And so this is what we're supposed to do. Now we're to count on it. We are to mortify or put to death those members which are in our bodies, you know, the sinfulness that we have. Put it to death. It's a matter of thinking about it. That's who we are. That is who we are in Christ. We are. We have died with Christ. We've been raised with Christ. We're to walk in newness of life. Therefore, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication. Uncleanness. Inordinate affection. Notice to whom he is speaking. He is speaking to Christians, not to become Christians. Christians already. People who have trusted Christ as their Savior. Now what are you to do? And if you can lose your salvation, if your salvation was that fragile, why the exhortation? Why the exhortation? "I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish." Okay. If I said, "I ain't no way going." Right? That means I'm going. A double negative in English, right? Double negative in English means the opposite. It means I am going. It's a positive, right? Two negatives make a positive in the English language. Got it? But not in the Greek. When he said you'll never perish, that word is a double negative in the Greek. And the Greek is telling us a double negative is, it means it's stronger. You will not perish. "I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Didn't say, until you kick Alana's pooch. It doesn't say, watch it, I know I'm getting closer, you know. But the thing about it, that it doesn't, until you sin, until you whatever, doesn't matter. You are a child of God that will never change. You pass from death unto life. Now he's telling us to act like who we are in Christ. Stop the fornication. Put that to death. Put that to death. And notice what he's saying here. He says, fornication, uncleanness. Boy, he didn't leave it. Inordinate affection. Evil desire. Covetousness, which is idolatry. I want that. I want this. I want that. That's idolatry. Oh, I've got to have it. It's not like I got to go get toilet paper or something. I don't know anybody that idolatrizes toilet paper. But you know, you go get it and you need it and that kind of stuff, right? But it's the car. It's the cool car. It's the other woman. It's the other man. It's idolatry. You're idolizing. That's exactly what you're doing. And he says, stop it. Stop it. And he said, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God comes on the sons of disobedience. And then notice what he says, though. In which you also once walked. This was your former life. When you lived in them. But now also put off all these. Take it off and put it off. Lay it aside. What? What are we to lay aside? See, one of the things I like about Danny Fitzgerald is that Danny Fitzgerald and I are Irish. That's true. And the Irish got you a little bit to the anger, didn't it? The Irish got you a bit. I don't know if they have that in India, maybe the Kerala people, you know. Oh, the Kerala people. You know, they get your Kerala up in, you know, right? Your anger. Right? That's called sin. It had nothing to do with the Irish. It had nothing to do with the Kerala. Are you guys Kerala?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Okay. All right. So he says, put this off. Put off what? Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. Can a Christian do that? Yeah, bird. Filthy communication out of your mouth. Uh-oh. Oh, man. How many words have we let slip out? Okay. Lie not one to another. How you doing? I'm doing great. And you're really not. That's called lying one to another. Sorry. That's true. Lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds. Take it off and put it over here. And then put on what is reality. And he says, okay, so, and yet put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond, nor free or Kerala. Well, it doesn't say that, but it does say that. Okay? But Christ is all in on. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, tender mercies. Listen, look at that list. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another. Isn't that beautiful? Don't you wish somebody would forbear you and not be so quick to get on your case? Well, we're to do that too. We're to do that too. And forbearing one another and forgiving one another as Christ has forgiven you, so do you, others. So how has Christ forgiven you?
He knows the absolute worst about you, and yet he still loves you. So somebody does something really bad news against you, is it worse than what we did against Christ? Not even close. Not even close. So we're to forgive one another. How many times do we hold the grudge? How many times do we say, well, no way am I in, No, as Christ has forgiven you, so do you others. Wow, that's what he's saying to us. He's saying, live like the Christian that you are. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another, even as you have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do also you. And then notice, listen, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. You be thankful. You know, we should make this song a song all the time. We should be singing this song all the time, right? And I'm not starting a new brethren movement type of thing, but this song should be in our hearts and in our minds. Okay, you ready for this one? Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free.
Boy, somebody's hard. I'm hard of hearing, but I can hear.
And I look at this, and so we thank the Lord, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ, and this is where you think of things above, right? Let the word of Christ dwell in you, how?
Richly.
That's an adverb, L-Y. So you look at this and you say to yourself, wow, how am I to let the word of God dwell in me? Richly. You know what I love? I love M&Ms. I don't eat them because they bother my ticker. But I love M&Ms. I like to do bobbing for M&Ms. If you have the 20-pound bag of M&Ms in a bowl, you know, I don't even want to grab them. I just want to put my face with my mouth open in them. Oh, man. Then I go into a coma, you know. That to me is, or take it like this. You wish you'd do this at a party. When Dad and Alana have that Christmas party and stuff, you just want to take a little, let them bounce all over the house. I love that. And you'd be going, I let the M&Ms dwell in me richly. Well, that's how we're to do the Word of God. That's how the Word of God is to us. How do we know what God is saying to us apart from the Word of God? We don't. He said, well, I can't read too well. I can't read too well. I'm a slow reader. Okay, or I don't know how to read. Well, get the tape. You can get this app on the phone. You can get this on Audible. I mean, there's no excuse. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. And let it, and that's what you think of. Think on things above, not on things of the earth. Wow. And so the Lord will bless. I always tell this to people. I said, you know, I do this. I really do. I told this to the other guy. I said, do you have a Bible? He goes, yeah. I go, I want you to read the Gospel of John. Are you wearing socks? He goes, yeah. I said, you better watch it because it's going to blow your socks right off. It's going to blow your socks right off. And then I had to go back and especially if you have those socks that keep circulation going. Okay, but you know, look at it. And then look at verse 17. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. This is what we're to do. This is what we're asked to do. And so, you know, is it fact?
Yes.
Or is it fantasy?
It's fact.
A lot of times it's fantasy. We think upon ourselves and we forget who we are in Christ. We forget. We need to put to death those things. We need to count those things true in our lives. This is who we are. It doesn't matter what your background is. If you know Christ as your personal Savior, if you received Him as your personal Savior, you're His child. And that nothing is going to change whether you... But I got to tell you something here. The more I seek the face of God, the less I want the things of the world. That's just an axiom that's true. Now, I'm fat. I wear this big jacket because I don't want you to see how fat I am. I am. I'm fat. I mean, I look at me and I go, oh, fat. You don't get fat, sorry, unless you got a gland problem. Unless you got some kind of problem that, you know, physical problem. But you don't get fat because you hate food. I love to eat, and I love M&Ms, not nutrition. Okay, I love that stuff. I keep doing it. The more I do it, the fatter I get. The more you look at the Word and obey the Word, purpose in your heart to look at it and study it and to obey it, the fatter you get in terms of your relationship with Him. That's the good kind of fat. They say avocado is a good kind of fat. This is the avocado of your spiritual life. This is good. This is goodness. And God will bless your life. This is not religion. It is relational. It is relationship with Him. I have a relationship with God. I love the name drop. The best one is, I know God. I know some famous people, but I know God. He trumps them all. That's true. That's true. Father, we just thank You so much for Your grace and love that never, 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 ever quits. Thank You for telling us to keep our focus on You, our minds on You. Help us, Lord God, not to think of ourselves, but to think of You. Help us. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Chris. I'm going to close the number 6, 7, two in the red book. First and last verse.
God be with you till we meet again. By His counsels guide uphold you. With His sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet. God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. Keep love's banner over you, smite death's threatening way before you. God be with you till we meet again.
Amen.
Thank you.